Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome to this edition of the Gardening Show, and lots been going on this week, so if you have a question or a comment, give me a call, 1-800-859-0957. Or, of course, you can email me at thegardeningshow.com, which is my website. Down at the bottom of the page, you'll find that form, and you send that to me. And Joe in Prudenville, Dennis in White Lake, and Richard in Minden, I hope you're listening because you did email me. And we'll get to those emails. But, again, let me talk a little to be, let's talk directly. 1-800-859-0957. And there are lines open. So if you've never had the opportunity, here we go. This week, you can also check on thegardeningshow.com. Not only can you email me if you have a question or a comment, but also I put up a lot of information that pops up and that you may find useful. Viburnum leaf beetles are starting to be bad if you have a viburnum. This is an invasive species moving into the state of Michigan. Not common, but we're seeing more and more of them. And they can strip a viburnum. They can strip almost all the viburnums. So this is a good article. Check about the middle of the week. That's when we update the website. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about how to recognize it, some of the damage, and some of the control things about that. And that is on thegardeningshow.com. Also, I will put up this week, we had a little hot weather, and it got dry. And if your grass was a little bit on the stress side, or perhaps the grass hadn't rooted deeply, a lot of times I see it in the berm between the street and the sidewalk, or next to a driveway where there's been a heat and drought and maybe some compaction, you'll find that it get browned out really quickly. Or you can see where your lawnmower went through, and that's called tracking. A little bit great article about that from heat stress this time. The good thing about it is it'll come back. We're starting to get rains more frequently, and that means that we'll have opportunities for the grass to regrow. The bad side about it says that there's an issue there with the root system on your grass. Think about deep root coriaceae, something like that, because there's a barrier. The grass has to have at least 3 inches of rooting depth, nice friable soil that's not compacted, to at least 3 inches. And if you're growing turf-type tall fescues, it's to 5 inches. So we'll talk a little bit later, we'll talk right now, about how to test that, besides just watching your grass turn brown. But I've still got a line open, so how about giving me a call? Tell me what you're seeing. 1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. The way to tell if you've got a compacted soil issue, it takes a high-tech tool, a piece of steel rod, about 3/8 inch diameter, about 4 feet long, at least that's the kind I buy, and you just probe it. Go around and push it down. You can tell if you hit a rock real easily, but you're not doing Arnold Schwarzenegger-type push-ups or anything on this. Just some normal pressure and see how far it goes, and you might be surprised. I've seen compacted areas right next to areas that you can plunge that rod down through, or through maybe a foot. So it just depends, and it really helps. So short rooted plants or small rooted plants such as grass are really susceptible to compaction. They're also susceptible to a lot of abuse because we walk on them all the time. So do a little checking. 1-800-859-0957. What else is going on? Oh, we can get back to more things. There'll be an article up there by Kevin Frank on thegardeningshow.com. But I did say that Joe in Prudenville, Dennis in White Lake, and Richard in Minden all emailed me. And let's get to those comments real quickly. Joe in Prudenville has a white oak that has a cavity in the trunk or a hole in the trunk from where a branch broke off and it rotted. It collects rain water, and his question is, can you fill it? Yes, you can. And they used to use cement, Joe. We don't do that anymore. Got something better, and it's the foam, expanding foam insulation. You can buy in a can, shake it up, and just expands out to fill the area. What I would do is, if you want to do it yourself, and I'll talk a little bit later why that may not be the best idea in the world, you can just put a piece of screen behind it, and like window screening to support behind it so it doesn't collapse or pop back into the hole, and then just fill it up. Allow the spray the insulation on, allow it to expand, and then you can cut it and shape it so it seals it off. Usually it's brown, so it doesn't look too bad. And that'll prevent the water from getting in. However, and here's the question about whether you want to do it yourself. Anytime that you have a significant cavity in a tree, especially tall trees like big oaks and things like that, the question is how much rot has occurred. Because you said here that the branch had broken off and rotted back, which means that that damage that may have penetrated well into that trunk. That means there's a potential for a significant weakness in the trunk, a structural weakness which can cause a massive collapse. In other words, you may have a tree on top of your house. The only way that I know of that you can prevent that or make sure that that won't happen or at least know that the potential is there is get a certified arborist, an arboriculturist, someone that knows is certified in arboriculture. And typically what they will do is either explore the cavity or the ones that are have a high-tech, it's a very small drill, and they'll drill all the way through the trunk, and then you can tell exactly how much of that trunk was rotted, how much can still support weight, and what grade of risk from an engineering point of view do you have in that tree. And many times, this is why trees break. You get structural damage inside that you can't see, and then, you know, and I've seen huge trees that you've got about 2 or 3 inches of wood all the way around the outside of the tree that's the only thing holding up a 50-ton tree. That's a scary situation, Joe. You can cap that hole if you want. I suggest you how to do that. I would suggest getting a certified arborist in there, and let's get a structural engineer an evaluation. Let's talk about some other things. 1-800-859-0957. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or, of course, thegardeningshow.com. I was talking earlier about some things that are going to be up on that website and coming up. We check in the middle of the week. That's when we usually update the website. We're going to have information on viburnum leaf beetle, that pest that's really starting to spread across Michigan. Keep an eye out on this one. It can cause massive damage. A little bit about from Kevin Frank on heat stress on lawns. We were talking about compaction issues. This is a neat one. Well, if you like bugs. European pine sawfly. If you have a Mugo pine or something, you're not going to be too happy because you'll be looking at that tree and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of big patch of needles gone. And what happened? Or this is one that freaks people out. You walk by, you look at it, and there's 100 little eyeballs looking at you. I mean, little eyeballs. The European pine sawfly is not a worm. It's a sawfly, which makes it a little bit different. You can't use the Bacillus thuringiensis materials on this at all. It doesn't work. And they feed on 2-year-old needles. And they look like needles. They're green. But what the freaky thing about these guys is they'll have maybe 50 or 100 of these worms in one spot. And you'll start to look at them, and all of a sudden, it's a startle reflex. And all of a sudden, they'll rear up on their back legs and look at you. And they move. If you move, they'll move with you, which is really kind of neat, actually. Kids love them. You won't. Easy to get rid of once you see them. Just check your trees. I like insecticidal soap. Works great. No residue, no issues with birds, pets, animals, nothing like that, and it'll get rid of them. But don't kill them off until you play with them a little bit. It's kind of fun to watch, especially for a little kid. You know, they're not afraid of insects at all, and this is kind of a fascinating thing to watch. And it's the pine sawfly. Great article. Check it out. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Danny in Okemos, and then Ray in Livingston. Stay on the line. You're up next. So, Danny, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, thank you. The only thing I have to work with is a drop spreader.
Okay.
And I have a fine crop of clover in my yard, and I'm trying to get rid of the clover.
Okay.
How do I do that?
A couple of ways to do it. Okay, Danny, I'm going to ask an insulting question, but apologize beforehand. You sure it's clover?
No, I'm sure it looks like...
Is it got flowers on it right now?
No.
Okay. Well, the reason
it does get flowers on it.
What color are the flowers?
White.
Okay.
And then
it's
the whole
clover.
Thing turns black.
Okay. Could be clover. The other, there's another weed out there. It's called Black Medic, and it looks a lot like clover until you you look at it. And it's got the same leaflets, three leaflets, the whole thing, except that the flowers are yellow, little ball, yellow balls, and that's a different weed. So that's a different deal. All right, the timing is bad for you, Danny, because if you only have a drop spreader, you're only it's the weed and feed type materials that will work on this. The problem is that the clover is pretty much immune to everything like that until September. Okay, so if you only've got a drop fertilizer, a drop spreader, you're going to have to wait. Now, the other approach is this in a big spot? Is there a lot of it, or is it just scattered? Tell me a little bit more about the distribution.
Yeah, it's mostly together. Three big spots in the side and front yard, which is maybe 5,000 square feet, 10,000 square feet.
Okay.
Combined.
The easiest way. Now, are you fertilizing your lawn and all this, or is it this an area that you're really not putting a lot of resources into it?
I do fertilize it.
Okay. I rarely suggest weed and feeds. I really don't like them because in most times you're treating areas that don't need it. But if you've only got a drop spreader, that's the only thing that you've got available to you. And I would use, if you haven't fertilized yet this spring, if you're on that type of a program, you can go in right now and use the recommended rates, and that will slow it down. It'll make it look sick for a while. Won't kill it off, but it'll slow the spread. And then you come back in the fall, the normal September fertilization, and again you use the weed and feed. And that will help a lot. I think I would really suggest, Danny, investing in a pump-up sprayer. Available anywhere. Get the ones, the two and a half gallon ones. They're about $20. Then you can buy the liquid materials. You can use the sprays only in the area that you want to use them in, and it works a lot better. And it's a small investment. Only though, if you do buy a sprayer to use for herbicides, that's all you use in that. And if you're using broadleaf controls, you just write on it. You don't put anything else in there because the materials get into the plastic. The material you want, if you want to buy a sprayer, is called Triclopyr, T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R. And it's available, couple brands. It'll have clover killer on the label, something like that. You'll get some good, decent control right now, but in the fall, you'll get a lot better control. So, it's a timing issue. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Good luck, sir. Appreciate that. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Ray in Livingston. I assume it's Livingston County. Ray, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean.
What's going on?
Two problems with insects. One is I just planted a bunch of perennials in pots and have them around the paver patio and retainer wall, and I got these little red mites that are crawling all over the pavers and on the plants.
Sure. Yeah.
And the other one is ants in the lawn. They make up a big mound in the lawn.
Okay.
What's my remedy for eradicating both these things?
All right, let's start with the little red mites. And it's a clover mite.
Okay.
And they're absolutely harmless. They freak people out. But they don't cause itches. They don't bite you. They don't feed on plants except clover. They're just kind of, I've seen a whole side of a house that's red and moving, and that kind of is kind of, some people really don't like that. But as far as issues with it, they're absolutely harmless. If you want to discourage them, buy some insecticidal soap. Yeah, the spray, hook it up to a hose end sprayer and just hose them down.
Okay.
That, or, you know, if they're not that bad, just use water spray and blast them off. They'll be around for about a week to 10 days, and then they'll just die off. So it's not a big thing. It depends if you're, you know, squeamish about that kind of stuff, or your wife is. In my case, it's my wife. The other one's a little bit more of a problem. Now, is the ant mound big enough that you're hitting it with the mower?
Almost, yeah.
It's getting that way. Okay. There is, and I've forgotten, I think it's called the northern mound ant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is around. I've got a nest in my yard that moves around a little bit. And usually, if it's in a spot where you really, you know, you're not walking on it or it's not in the main part of your yard where everybody sees it, I just let them go. You know, they're not harmful to humans and they don't bite. If you're getting that big, check my website out, thegardeningshow.com, say about the middle of the week. I'll put a, there's an article out there. I'll rerun it on mound ants. It'll talk about the biology and a little bit of the control. They're a little bit hard to get rid of, Ray, in the sense that you're probably going to have to treat a couple of times because that ant nest is huge. It goes down deep. So you've got some options. If it's not too big, I've heard this tried. I've never tried it myself. Is it how close to the house is it, or how close is to it where you can carry some boiling water on it?
Oh, close enough. Yeah.
Try the boiling water trick. Don't burn yourself. I've heard of people getting, you know, sloshing boiling water in their feet and stuff, so be careful. I've heard people say that works. I've never tried it. It's, you know, basically it's harmless to everybody. It's worth trying, but I don't, you know, see what happens. But check the gardening show about the middle of the week, and I'll update that. And just can't think of which mound ant it is. It's the one, there is a Michigan one, and that's the one you got. Okay?
I've tried that Bayer, little pellets, and they sometimes seem to stop it, but it's kind of like...
You can use the baits, and one of them, of course, is my sponsor, and that's Bonite, and they have Revenge, but usually you're going to have to put something into the nest. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957, or, of course, thegardeningshow.com. Speaking of ants, Richard from Minden emailed me about ants in his kitchen. You know, Richard, when we're dealing with outside ants, like this mound ant question we were dealing with, we have more options. Obviously, a kitchen is you have to be much more careful about using any material. I don't care what we're dealing with, because around food, people, you name it. I prefer baits. There's a wide number of baits on the market, and our good sponsor, Bonite, has excellent products under the Revenge brand. Works, they do. The thing with baits is two things, one of which, you got to use enough of them. You got to follow the ants back, and you can start see where they're going and put the bait in that area. Secondly, many baits have either a grease attractant or a sugar. Some of them have both. Make sure that they either have both in the same container or they have one or the other. And if they have one or the other bait or type of bait attractant, the grease or the sugar, you buy one of each and see which the ant prefers. It depends on the type of ant. So the other thing is, many of the newer products have a material that's very long-lived. The workers that you see in your kitchen take it back to the nest, and it knocks out the queen, so that gets rid of the whole nest. So my approach, Richard, I hope that helps. Ants in the kitchen, basically, I would use a bait, not a space spray or any of that type of thing. And make sure, though, that you've got materials that are both long-lasting and able to be moved back to the nest to get the queen, and also that are attractive, either grease and or type of sugar bait, something like that. Well, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Louise in Ann Arbor, and Bill in Rochester Hills, you're up next. So, Louise, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Thank you. I've had a problem for a couple of years. I live in a townhouse, okay. And we are responsible for a certain amount of territory behind our units, and sure. I was having problems with dark spots, and the way you describe it, I'm sure it's a problem with the compacted soil.
Could be.
Because we did have a manager for the ground. He's not here right now, but last year he put on new dirt and new seed, and the same thing happened, the same spots in the same area.
Yeah, that's suspicious.
Know. Yeah.
Easy to tell, Louise, I'm serious. Go to your local big box store or your local hardware store, and you need a 3/8-inch steel rod.
I heard you say all that. My problem is I'm 80 years old.
Okay.
How am I going to get my soil compacted? Because a big,
sure.
I called a a big firm, and they don't want to.
They don't want to deal with it.
A little spot.
No, well, they can't afford it. To be very honest with you,
right.
Louise, it's
right.
not that they're trying to discriminate.
I understand.
Yeah, their equipment's just too big. Here's how I would do it. First of all, let's define the problem. Get your rod and, you know, go out on a nice spring morning or a nice morning sometime or a nice evening and just probe it. Even it, you know, it doesn't take much strength. And you will tell exactly where this area is. And if it's in the same spot, I'll bet you're right. It's either compacted.
There are about 10 spots in
okay.
that area.
Yeah. There's another possibility. How old is your townhouse?
47 years.
Oh, okay.
One thing might be important.
Yes, ma'am.
About 30 years ago, well, it doesn't matter when it was planted, but the tree, we had a beautiful, very large ornamental apple tree in my area
right
back. And it rotted out.
Okay.
And then a storm came, and it fell down and
it
smashed up everything. And the roots were very large,
sure.
And I had a heck of a time finally getting the co-op to churn up the roots,
mm-hmm.
and you could fall right over them. And I was wondering if there was any relationship between. That's when the soil started getting difficult.
Did they, when they took the tree out in the stump, did they grind the stump out or?
They just cut the stump down pretty much to the. They didn't really take this.
Mm.
Well, when the man came to churn it up, he churned up mostly large roots that were sticking up above the ground. So
I guess
they cut it down pretty much.
Well, you're going to have to find out.
Okay.
Try the probe and see if it's.
And if the trunk's still there, what does that mean?
Means it's got to come out.
You can't see it.
Well, it's either got to come out or you're going to, you know, that might be part of the issue here.
Yeah.
And it may not be that it's soft. It may be if that area is really, really soft. What you've got down there is a whole bunch of dead wood that's rotting away, and that's taking the nutrients.
Heavy clay.
Well, try it and just probe. You'll see the difference. It could be something underneath there. It could be a compacted spot. There's a third thing that you need to try, and this is kind of, you know, it's one of those things that people say, you've got to be kidding, but this works. Get some hand dishwashing soap. Put enough into a gallon or two of water that you just get, you know, like you would put when you're washing dishes. Not too much suds, but just a little.
Uh-huh.
And pour it on that area. And what I'm looking for to see if that penetrates.
When I water and watch, and it doesn't penetrate very quickly.
That may be something different then. There's what's called localized dry spots. Which is sort of a interesting physical thing. Usually it involves organic matter of some type, like your tree trunk maybe, and I'm guessing. I don't have any information that says it will be. But what happens is that the top of the soil, the chemistry changes, which doesn't allow the water to penetrate. It just rolls right off. It gets waxy. And the idea of the soap solution is that it breaks the wax down. Try it.
Try it. You know, that tree was huge, so there's the big root system.
It's very possible that you're right, but I'm trying to eliminate some possibilities.
Right. Well, I'll try it.
Well, it doesn't cost you anything. You know, that's not a big deal, so it may actually help. You'd be surprised how often it's fairly common. If it does help, we know what you did. It'd be a good thing to come in and see if somebody, maybe a friend or somebody, you can rent a core aerator at your local rental place and just a small one, and to do this kind of thing, you can do it yourself or have somebody, a friend or somebody do it.
Well, my problem is I always did everything myself, but I'm 83 and I can barely walk.
Well,
so
check
I go
with
out there
the,
in my little
talk around
walker.
To the, talk around to the neighbors and see who's got having somebody come in or what you need.
We don't have neighbors who are gardeners. So
how about grandparents? You got any grandparents around?
I'm alone, totally alone. I lost my husband, my son.
I'm saying if you have any.
I have no family, and I have friendly neighbors, but not neighbors who.
Ask if somebody's got a 16-year-old grandson.
You know what? I can't even get a teenager to mow the lawn with my handmower. That's 8 by, it's 9 by 10 feet.
I know.
But, I mean,
it's hard. I'll tell you what.
It's not easy in this world.
I so hard. I. I Absolutely, I understand exactly. But what, you know, really, this can be done. It needs somebody. Here's a, you know, even get out and try the soap thing. You know, if you can do it without, you know, conveniently, it doesn't tax you too much. Try the soap. Try the probe if that's not too strenuous for you. And here, I want you to make a phone call on Monday. I want you to call Michigan State University Extension in Ann Arbor. Ask to talk to somebody in the Master Gardener group or to one of the horticulturalists over there and tell them that you're looking for a little bit of help, and you'd be surprised. Those people can't guarantee anything, but I know those people, and they are...
Well, I wish you had a name. I'm telling you, I went to the Ann Arbor station, you know, with my soil samples.
Yeah.
And I sent it to...
MSU, sure.
To them, MSU, and they sent me back something that said I should get a probe 20 feet down, and it was for a farm. You know,
okay, well,
I wrote a letter and told them what I wanted. I didn't
here's,
get it.
Okay, go in, so, but I'll give you a name.
Oh, good.
But talk to the volunteer first. That's who you get, and they will follow through. I know those people. The
okay.
name here, if that doesn't work, Bob Bricault, B-R-I-C-A-U-L-T.
B-R-I-C-A-U-L-T.
He's the boss over there. He's the head man, and if he'll follow through. So give them a call.
Could you spell his name again?
B-R-I-C-A-U-L-T.
Oh, C-A-U-L-T. All
right.
Right. Very good. I'll
but
try
talk
that.
To the volunteers are very good, but Bob will follow through.
I think my problem is more labor than anything.
Well, that's
always knew that you should, you know, till it, or whatever you call it. And our manager
sure.
wouldn't do that. He said, no, just talk.
There is, though, you'd be surprised, once they start pulling resources for people who have, you know, are older or have handicaps, there is availability. You just got to get plugged into the system.
Good.
Now,
okay.
I can't guarantee anything, ma'am. I don't want to raise your hopes. But I would say these people are the first line. If anybody can do something for you and help you get into that system, give them a call. That's MSU Extension in Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County. MSU Extension in Washtenaw County.
Oh.
Okay?
They call it. Yes,
good luck.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. 1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com or give me a call. I got a couple of lines open. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Oh, welcome back. Let's go to Bill in Rochester Hills. Bill, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago about fescue in my bluegrass.
Oh, right.
And you said to look at your website, which I did, and then I have confirmed that it is fescue. And,
okay.
Oh, by the way, before I forget, the lady who was your last caller,
yes.
She might consider contacting the local Lions Club or the local Rotary Club. They may be willing to help out.
Excellent suggestion. Yeah, I had.
I
haven't thought on that, but Louise, I hope you're out there listening because those are also service clubs of all types. Many of them have, this is the type of project that they can handle or will
Absolutely.
Be able to help. So good suggestion. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So looking at your, what I've been trying to do is struggle with not having to go in with Roundup and kill out patches. But I noticed on your website you had something called chlorosulfuron and sulfosulfuron.
Right.
Those
are
now,
materials specifically for sedges, which is not a grass.
Uh-huh.
So won't good try, but won't work. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well,
That was rude. I didn't mean to shoot you down like that. But
no,
those are very
right.
specific. That was my. I apologize.
Oh, that's quite all right. So I'm back to.
You're back to Roundup. Yeah,
it Roundup.
Basically, you know, this, Bill. My thought on this is let's just go through the summer and forget it. You know, just put up with it, because right now is not a good time to be messing around doing this. Your opportune time is at the end of August, early September. And really, that's the best time to reseed, or as I remember, this was a sod, or am I getting you mixed up with
them. I sod the yard about 4 years ago, yeah. And this year the fescue has
just coming up through it. Yeah,
I
would wait. Just put up with it. You know, don't look at it. Just mow it, and then go in. And you're going to think about in the fall is the ideal time to do this because it's cooler, it's wetter. You don't have the weed pressures that we've got now. It's just the opportune time to redo your yard. The question I have is, take a look at it. If it's just spotty, it may be that you can, again, this is a relatively new yard. You know where you got the sod. I would go back to that sod grower and say, hey, you know, are you still growing the same blend? Because if they are, which they probably are, you can just cut that area out, kill that area off, and drop new sod right back into it. And that'll be the easiest way. If they're not, or it's in a big enough area that you may just make it easier just to take off, kill a square out, take the old sod off, and drop new sod in.
How, if I take the old sod out, how sure. deep do I need to go?
It'll only be, you only need to go down below the layer of turf, which is like an inch.
Okay, so it wouldn't be too hard with a spade shovel then, or
no? Well, if they're small spots, if you've got like 20 by 30, go down to your local rental center and get a sod cutter.
Okay.
Which are, you know, they'll charge you $35 in a couple of hours, and then you can just cut it out.
How late in the fall should I do this? In other words,
September.
September. Okay.
Unless you've got some reason, like a wedding or a graduation party, you know, those kind of things where you can do it anytime. My thought is I would do it mid-September, and you start killing the grass off at the 1st of September after Labor Day. You know, you get all the party stuff done and all that, and then you just go in and go after it. You're going to kill it off, spray it, and allow it to go for a week or two to see what comes back, because some of it may have not gotten killed. Go back in, clean all that out, and then cut the old sod off. Work it up if you have to. Bring a tiller in, get it tilled up, and then drop the new sod right back in. And then if that's new sod should take, and that should take care of your problem. It's just going to be matching the color. And again, you're lucky. You know exactly where you got the sod. That's most people don't have any. They have no idea where to go back and match it. So you're in a good position.
What? Now, my next-door neighbors on either side of me have got fescue in their yards, and they don't do a lot with them. They have a lawn service that comes in and sprays the yard, but that doesn't kill the fescue. Am I going to have this stuff come back?
Probably. It'd be unusual as long as you're taking good care of your sod. Uh-huh. If you're doing a good job, you know, regularly fertilizing it, keeping it watered, keeping the grass growing, usually it'll outcompete it. The other thing is just keep a close eye on it and see if you can go ahead. And if you just see a little spot, you know, if anything smaller than the size of a highball glass, you know, something about that big around, you can spot spray that and the grass will fill right in. Anything bigger than that, you may have to think about a little bit more drastic action. You know what I would do? How well do you know your neighbors?
We've lived next door to each other for over 20 years.
Well, okay. Why don't you just suggest to them I can get a better price for all of us if I go in with a bigger order from the sod farm?
That's true.
And have the whole area redone. That might work real well.
One of them will have to sod his whole front yard.
Hey, it never hurts to ask. All they can do is laugh at you, and I've been laughed at a lot. I'm used to it.
That's true.
But it'd be easy, and they will give you a better price. You know, you can get a discount. And you've got all the equipment. So three guys get together, you can do a lot of work in half a day, and that really cuts your rental costs down. So
yeah, it does.
Just a thought.
Now, we'll see what we can do. I think I'll go ahead. So I'll go ahead and proceed with that then, because that looks like that's going to be my only option.
Well, just wait till the fall. None of this should be happening from here until the beginning of August, or beginning of September. So you've got time to talk about it and think it through. But I would give
thanks,
the – I'm sorry?
No, I was just said thanks. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just – you might give the – if you're ever in the area near that sod farm, you might want to just double check with them that they haven't changed their blend, because they
now,
do periodically.
One other question, if I choose to seed it, should I seed it with bluegrass rye mixture or straight bluegrass?
You use the bluegrass rye mix. It's just the rye is in there just to prevent shade. It makes it the bluegrass to a little easier to establish. You can do it either way, but get a top quality seed. Don't get the cheap stuff. Okay.
No, I bought it. What I have so far is at Bordines, and they generally
that's a topper. They have good product. The cheap stuff, you get what you pay for, and certainly in a lawn, you don't want to buy cheap seed.
No, okay? I got you. Thank you.
Good luck.
Just one other comment before I go off. I've listened to you a lot, and I did some radio myself once. I want to congratulate you as a talk show host. You give all of your listeners all the time they need, and that's really commendable. Thanks a lot.
Well, I sincerely appreciate that. It's a privilege, and it's been a privilege to be on JR. I can't and the other stations. I enjoy it. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. You're a great host. Thanks again.
Thank you. Okay, just to be nice, okay, because we are coming up to the end of the show. Calvin and Pigeon, Robert in Rochester Hills, and Duke in Waterford. If I can't get to your call, which it looks like I may, stay on the line. I'll talk to you off the air. That's one of the great things about these call-ins. I can do that. So Calvin and Pigeon, Robert in Rochester Hills, and Duke in Waterford, do not hang up when we go off the air because I'm coming up fairly close right now. I will talk to you off the air. After that great compliment, I can't shut anybody off. Can't do that. However, if you miss something, check thegardeningshow.com. As I said, we update that weekly about the middle of the week, so check that out. We'll have information on mound ants, European pine, sawfly, heat stress on grass, and our friend the viburnum beetle, which is getting really kind of bad. The other thing to note for people out there, if you miss a show, we have podcasts, or just didn't get the information that you wanted. I said something and you didn't quite hear it, which happens a fair amount. Go back and check that. We have podcasts for the entire season. So Dennis in White Lake, you emailed me about a product. He said I used it for systemics on food crops. We never use systemic insecticides on food crops. Go back and double check that. Check the label. Always check the label. Also, for those of you who are growing black raspberries and things like that, hopefully in my patch we're seeing a lot of new shoots, but the shoots are then dying because the damage was happening later. It's going to be an interesting year for all of us who love Michigan fruit, unfortunately. And Jerry and Warren, you emailed me about the apples from your neighbor's apple tree in your garden. Compost them. Just make a compost pile, put them all in there. Gets rid of all the apple seedlings. Have a fantastic week. And Calvin, Robert, and Duke, stay on the line.